It's May 18th, 2018, and this is collective bargaining between the University of West Florida Board of Trustees and the United Faculty of Florida, University of West Florida Chapter.
He's Mike Matamore.
I'm Mike Matamore.
Kim LaDuff.
Scott Tedderwhite.
Ramey Goujon.
John Fick.
Dean DeBolt.
Okay. Great. Okay. We have a lot to do today.
Great. That's fine.
We actually are going to articulate a potential path toward a resolution of all the articles in a contract.
Okay.
Part of our approach is that there is funding for a wage action, but our finance people need to distribute the wage action before July 1st.
Okay.
Which I think we have plenty of time to be able to get out, ratify, and get into a place. I'll leave it at that. I'll go through these and articulate everything. One of the things that I don't know what your ratification requirements are, but if after today you have questions or you want to come back and express a different approach or perspective on some of these things, and you don't want to, and the leaving the 31st out there as the only other date to meet, given the July 1st deadline. Okay. We've looked at our schedules, and we could probably meet on the sometime on the 29th if you needed to slot in an extra date, because you would want to have an interim. Because I think the 31st is probably going to be, if we're going to hit this, we're probably going to have to hit it at least by the 31st.
Okay.
For your purposes of ratification, and our purposes of being able to take the payroll action, because we'll have to load up payroll and distribute it. So, I'm going to give you an Article 9 today.
Okay.
Article 9. I think we are similar. I think we have a lot more detail as to what we're looking for in terms of someone to qualify for the money. I think we've been able to do two things with our Article 9 that's going to be move us a lot closer together. And one is that we're willing to expand the eligibility of the ranks from just instructor lecturers to a broader class. Like, I think we were just instructors and lecturers, and you had like non-tenure line faculty. I think we're able to expand that. Last year, for a while, we were only looking at a more narrow view. So we're capturing a number of other people in all that. And the other thing is that, under the current scheme, I think it's, if you go through a multi-year contract and then you go through another multi-year contract, is it $1,000 that you get?
It's $1,000. There's two different groups that go through the multi-year contract. Mm-hmm. There's the instructor lecturers and research associates. There's also the library faculty, right?
Yes.
So the library faculty kind of overlaps because they do SPE, but a library faculty has a multi-year contract, but they don't have the additional $1,000 with the second one because they have the SPE structure.
Right. So those people who are going to... You'll see in our proposal we're moving away from that multi-year contract because we're replacing it with this evaluation process. And the reward for getting us getting to that and being successful would be $4,000.
Would be what?
$4,000.
Okay.
So it's a significant financial increase over the current process. I'm going to give you Article 9 in a minute, but I guess I was going to track through everything verbally first. Article 26... We're willing to move the eligibility date to 65, and then we also are going to have to put some language in 26 to indicate that phased retirement has to be FRS compliant, because if not, FRS will not cooperate in paying the retirement benefits, and then it's worth nothing. In Article 3, this is part of my overall package, you've asked if we could strike the words either or in Article 3, which is the cap on the use of release time. And as part of this package, we're willing to do that.
Okay, great.
On Article 25, this is where we have a wage action. We would keep everything in the current wage article the same, so that means the cost of living increase would kick in for 18-19. And then on top of that, what we would give is a 5% non-recurring bonus. And we would distribute that to in-unit faculty by July 1st, 2018.
Okay.
And then we had Article 6, and we were going to propose language that was going to create some exclusive remedy language for discrimination. We were going to try to explore the possibility of the formation of a committee that would review complaints before they could be referred on. For the purposes of trying to get this done in this time frame, we're willing to withdraw that.
Okay.
So this would be 9. Let's save one for Daniel.
And I also have copies of the 10 room we talked about.
But we have signed it. We're willing to sign that too. Yeah. This is 9.
Here's the
good. Jonathan, this is our stab at salaries. I don't have language for these for 26, but it would just mean we'd trick up the date of eligibility to 65.
Right, it would be that. And there's language in other components of, I was looking at this the other day, that would mirror how we would reference the FRS system.
Good.
Right.
Good.
So that's very easy to kind of say.
Three, you know,
is like the reemployment.
Yeah.
Like reemployment must comply with all you know, stipulations of the FRS. Yeah.
And I don't think I have it with me, but because I came in from Miami, but you gave us a 3 with the either or struck.
Yes,
right?
I've got copies of that.
So then. I think now I've given you 25, and I've articulated that if we can reach agreement on these other items, that we will withdraw our initiative for Article 6, and we'll have Article 6 be status quo.
Okay.
Do you want to read through these and let in a caucus? So without us sitting here watching you, so that you can, and then we'll come back and answer questions.
That sounds good. Let me ask one quick question, just about the relationship with the multi-year contract and the instruction. Right?
Yeah.
Are you all proposing the elimination of multi-year contracts entirely? Are you looking at tying the multi-year contract to this new award?
Multi-year contracts would still be in use.
Just the $1,000 component?
It's just that it's the obligation that somebody gets an automatic second multi-year contract. Because see, what we did was, there was, in past negotiations, it was brought up for our consideration to have a promotional track for instructors and lecturers.
Mm-hmm.
And we, in lieu of that, created this multi-year contract, 3 and 3, and if they get a certain thing, they automatically get the next one. And now we're going to a different hybrid of all of this, to this 6-year evaluation where they get $4,000. And so multi-year contracts would still be in use. It's just that one provision where we put in where they go, you know, they get 3, and then if they hit certain levels, they automatically get another 3.
Right.
That's what we're replacing.
Okay. We'll review it and look at it. My understanding of the reason that we implemented the multi-year contract was because there were multi-year contracts in the contract, but they were never implemented in their history, right? So they may receive them. Brendan at the time said, "Yeah, we have never implemented those ever." So we wanted to make a contractual right for faculty to demonstrate through meritorious performance their abilities and to receive multi-year contracts. And I think that's reflected in the fact that we included library faculty in the multi-year contracts. They already at that time had promotion increases and structures, and that there was a recognition that the multi-year contract structure was needed to provide a semblance of job security that faculty can earn through their meritorious performances, right? So I think the characterization that I remember of looking at multi-year contracts is that it would be the basis for additional components, but additional increases, not that it would be a temporary component.
I think the language at 9F on multi-year appointments would still be in place. It would just be that they would the section 3 the permissive use of multi-year appointments we're still good with. The obligatory multi-year contracts is where we have a problem.
Well, we'll caucus and talk about that. But the whole point, from my memory, of why we negotiated the obligatory multi-year contract, because there was never a case in history of a permissive multi-year contract being given, right? So, to my knowledge.
Yeah. Well, I don't. That could be, Jonathan. I don't remember that those. I don't remember that data point. But, right.
But what's for certain is you're proposing striking that.
Yeah,
that
yeah. Language. I mean, it actually in practice has become problematic because it kind of collides with some other things that we have in process, like the concept of non-reappointment, mm-hmm. The concepts of tenure and. The rank order and some of the other actions that are taken throughout the course of the contract has become problematic. So we want to. I mean, I asked the question: what happens with people that are currently on multi-year contracts that are in that system? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get a confirmation on it. I wouldn't be surprised if everyone who has one gets to have it. Play itself out.
Well, I mean, they've been given a contract.
Right.
I don't know if
so
it's a question
to, we're not trying to do that, but we want to end the practice of an obligatory multi-year contract going forward. That's what
I know that that's one of the essentially important components for our non-tenure track faculty, that the ability to have and it's to meritoriously earn a three-year contract, I think, is something that provides them essential sense of job security, and it's, you know, the characterization of it as obligatory is I would characterize it as meritorious, right? That's why it's provided, to find a clear path for their to provide and reward their.
It's only given to those who have. Yeah. Cross this threshold of excellence.
Right. But somebody could cross the threshold of excellence and be in a non-tenured position, and we would still have reasons to not continue their employment.
Well, I'm ending a three-year contract, and the only way I can get another three-year contract without going back to the old one-year is to have certain criteria on my evaluation that I've achieved over the 3 years. So I have to earn that. Multi-year contract to some extent, and there's 9 other faculty I know that are in the same boat. And the idea of the multi-year was that we also had to go up to things like promotion and so forth. But if you were always hanging a 1-year contract on you, you were always sure you were going to be able to continue in that kind of thing. You want to, as my understanding, you want this to replace all of that, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and I see there's some problems here because it says, for example, each college shall establish a college council. The library is not a college, although it's headed by a dean. It says, I have tenured and non-tenured faculty. We have no tenured faculty. if a majority of tenured faculty serving on the council. We have no tenured faculty, so we would not have a we would not be able to meet that and meet that. It has teaching responsibility, teaching philosophy, course design and content. We don't do that kind of thing. We're rated on service, teaching and learning. I have trouble fitting this into the existing thing with the argument that multi-year contracts aren't needed.
But this language and this initiative is for people who currently are not eligible for a promotional track, and the librarians are.
Right. Yeah, but for the library, it would essentially just be taking away their multi-year contract structure.
Right. But yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Another quick question about this before we begin. It was one of the things we discussed is whether or not all eligible faculty would be evaluated based on objective criteria, or potentially with the term award, there would be a limited number of those offered per year. Is your vision here that these are all faculty would have objective criteria to be evaluated on?
Yeah, that's my understanding of it, Jonathan. Okay. I think if you look on page 2, they have that each of the colleges will specify and publish criteria for measures of instructional quality. And I think the only limitation that there is on who can be eligible for this is in section 5 on the last two page, starting on the second to the last page and onto the last page, is just a rollout process for everybody.
Okay.
There's no limit to the outstanding teaching awards.
I didn't see one in
okay,
this.
Okay, in other words, if you had a college, so. You had where people make it through, they would all get a teaching award kind of thing.
I think
right.
so.
It's not a 36 award
right.
divided by four colleges.
It's not like a tip. It's
all
it's
right.
going to
it's
be literally
automatic.
Everyone who applies
right.
who's eligible.
Okay.
Will be evaluated independently.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. We just don't want the Hunger Games, right?
No. Yeah, we don't. Right. We don't
okay,
see
good.
That as happening.
Okay. Well, we'll caucus and review this. We appreciate time Bob's gone into all of this and the relationship.
Okay. Thank you.